if we were to proceed, I just want to make sure we're hearing from the Holy Spirit. Does anyone have a word from the testimonies this morning, and plus the music, the worship music, about dwelling with the Lord, being in His presence, surrendering our heart to His, not our will, but His? When Andy and I wrestled a couple of weeks ago about contending for the faith, that's the sermon. And what we did was just a glimpse. And it was funny when Rick was saying about it, he expects us to wrestle and maybe punch in the kidney. I can't do that. I think I can get other people to do that. But the Lord has so much, and I'd like to share it, and I'll go right to my notes. It's power. Who has it? Who wants it? Who controls it? Who's unaware of it? Who has that power?
We all have that power.
Yes. Who wants it? Yes. Who controls it? Jesus. Yes. Who's unaware of it? It still could be us, because we really don't have a full comprehension of the power of God. And that's through unbelief, disbelief, what we think is real versus what God tells us is real. And I'd like to open up with Jude 1:1. Oh, Aaron, can you give me a hand just moving this over? Just slide it over and I can pull the next set of props in. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. I want to give definitions of sanctified. Now remember, this is sanctified by God. It's Strong's number 37, if you want to take notes. Hagizio. It's to render or to acknowledge, to be venerable, to be hollow. To separate from profound things and dedicate to God. Consecrated things of God. Dedicated people to God. To purify, to cleanse externally. To purify by expiation, meaning you're free from guilt, from sin. To purify eternally by the renewing of the soul. And remember, sanctified by God. God has done this to each believer. Preserved in Christ, or preserved in Jesus Christ. That's Strong's Concordance 5083. To attend, to carefully attend, to take care of, to guard, to keep, to observe, to render, to undergo something. That means to be preserved in Christ. So we're sanctified by God, and now Jesus Christ is watching over us. He's observing us. He's attending to us. He's taking care of us. And the third thing, we're called. Called, we're invited in a banquet, invited by God in a proclamation of the gospel to obtain eternal salvation in the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. Called to some office, divinely selected and appointed. That's how Jude calls each believer, that this is who you are. You've been sanctified by God, not by a tradition of man, but God Himself has sanctified us. Jesus Christ preserves us, and He calls us to do His work. Oh, Carol has that out. Ooh, thank you, Carol. That's full of hope, encouragement. We have the Trinity overlooking us. But then he goes into verse 3, and this is where Andy and I were wrestling. Jude 1:3, Beloved, When I gave all diligence unto you about the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And that's important, because when I share my faith and when we do ministry, we hear a lot of things. If it's in God's will, this will happen. But you tell us we have to contend for our faith. If God has already sanctified us and Jesus is watching over us and he's called us to do ministry, why should there be any contending? I mean, isn't it easy street? Isn't our faith easy street? And we all know from our personal experience it is not. And then he talks about people who have gone into the church who are enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ, and you say, I thought this contention is more of like what Andy and I were trying to do, a battle that we're trying to get to something and something's stopping us. And I found out, what I am finding out and learning is it's sometimes it's a simple doctrine which throws me off that I think is true. So I'm going to pull out my displays and do a demonstration. And as you know, I do testimonies. And this happened a few years ago. And as I'm going to start out with is that came a time in Carol's my life that we struggled financially. I mean, really. We went from being well off, really, to broke in a day. And that was my previous life. And this whole thing about tithing and being faithful and sacrificial giving, and how can you do that? Really? And that was my unrenewed mind. Because I had bills to pay. And after I paid my bills, I would give what I could to the church. After all, we had no money. Then one day when I'm reading about in the scriptures it talks about giving Jesus, giving God our first fruits, I realized the first fruit was Friday when I got paid. And I made the conscious decision from that day, and I can't remember how many years ago it was, that when I get paid, when I receive a blessing, I tithe. That's the first thing I do. And I thank you, Lord, for that. And so that's where I was standing. Were things financially tight? Yes. But the first blessing, well, the first thing I did was tithe to the Lord. And that was a process because I was thinking tithing is a lottery at times. I put a dollar in, maybe I get five back. A dollar in, maybe I get ten back. Maybe I hit a jackpot and get $100 back. But tithing is not like that. It's not a gamble. It's a way of life, and I do it joyfully. And I always thought the church was rich. And I came in, and when we started the Jesus is Lord tour concerts and the Power Station concerts, I was going to ask the church to help support me. Because churches are rich. And I went to that little spreadsheet in the back wall and said, oh my God, I have more money than the church. Wow, that was a slap. And I'm saying this out of honesty and truth. My eyes were open. Then how does this church operate? How does any church operate? How does anything of missions operate? And I've gone through and people tell me, you're rich, you have the power station, you have a house, and God provides. And I say, something unbiblical? I said, that doesn't work that way because you're the body. If something has a value, would you not support it? So at the same time is that we made the commitment, I made the commitment for our family that we would offer our first fruits to the Lord. My friend, who was well off, said, Tom, I got a deal for you. It's a secret. Guaranteed moneymaker. And he's coming to me because he knows the financial situation we're in. It's a secret. It's for Christians. Okay. It's an exclusive. You'd be the only one. So immediately, because I've been in sales my whole life, that means you have to buy something. It's not that you're going to make money. You have to buy something. And this particular man had, well, he had tough times. He's a Christian. He came in here to fight the devil. The devil knocked him around quite a bit. And he kept on trying to tell me about this program. And then another brother in the Lord, same script. It's a secret. Christians, guaranteed to make money. You need money. But I'm tithing. And I don't see the fruit and the blessings of tithing just yet. I see it now. Until I got another call from another brother about, guess what? The secret program that's going around through the Christian circles that's going to make money. And believe me, making money was a temptation. I needed to pay bills and stuff. The first man, against the advice of his wife, I guess took the IRA, whatever, and invested. And all these men did something foolish, and their spouses told them not to. And when they started talking to me, no, I'm not interested. They got angry at me. So that's the facts that I see. But when the Lord was, when they would tell me this, I had a vision, a dream of what was happening. And the vision was, and I didn't like the word. Sometimes I read the scriptures, and I'm still reading it from a really unrenewed mind. Because let me just go right to the scripture, because this is the end. So I don't know how I'm skipping all through the middle about contending our faith, because this whole thing talks about contending with our faith. We have to earnestly contend. We have to fight. We have to go for it. We have to really know what the word says. And that's basically this. What does the word say, and what are you going to believe in? And Aaron's song is about, I surrender myself to the Lord. Your will be done, not mine, type of thing. It's like we're surrendering. But the Lord says, the word says to do something. And here's these brothers in Christ telling me, if I would invest in their program, I'd be rich. Now, being rich financially, is that going to get me to heaven? No. Does it make my life here easier? Yes, it does. Of course. So, but the division the Lord showed me was, all my brothers and sisters Christ who had to buy this product are at this big, you see these big, they're not yard sales. They would rent out, like in Keene, they would rent out the Cheshire Ice Arena. They would set up a tent and set up booths, like yard sale booths. And what I saw was my friends in Christ setting up the table, and guess what? Every one of them had the same thing, a white box lined up on their table. Row after row after row. And you saw empty tables that the people realized they made a mistake. They took their life savings to get rich, and that was taken away from them. Lord, excuse us. So, all my brothers bought into this program, which was not doctrinal. The Lord says, seek things of the heaven, and all these things be added to you. You can't go looking after things of the world thinking it's going to get you heavenly things. Your focus is on heavenly things, and the Lord says, you do seek these first, and the kingdom be added to you. And these were the scriptures I was sharing with these men. And no. So then the vision is at the yard sale, they're all sitting there with the same thing, except they would have their treasure. And Aaron, I thought you were reading my notes, because we are earthen vessels that have these treasures. And so these men, whoever these men were, wicked men. Oh yeah, thank you, Lord. Talks about wicked men. And the Lord warns of things. We can have blessings or cursings upon the lives. And in Proverbs 4:14 to 4:19, it talks about wicked men. But I'm going to read verse 16. Proverbs 4:16. This is talking about wicked men. They sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. That some are the brothers and sisters of the Lord. So my friends who bought the products, okay, we're dealing with wicked men. The allure of making money superseded what the Lord would say for them. Seek ye the kingdom of God first. Philippians 3:18-20. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends were deceived from taking a look at heavenly things to earthly things, okay? And these are wicked men that are doing it. They're minding these things. And Aaron said it, in 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, meaning us, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Matthew 13:52. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth out his treasure, things new and old. And what I see is that Jesus takes us out. He's the householder. He's bringing out the treasures, which is us. And within us, we have the treasures of heaven. These are the things that we share. And when we contend for our faith, which is contrary to our flesh, when the Lord gives us scriptures for guidance to stay away from wicked men, don't go on their path, don't sit with them, don't listen to them, it's for us to take heed of and stay away. Because we can fall into the same trap that these men have fallen into. I gotta find this. Oh, thank you, Lord. So contending, we have to fight. In 1 Timothy 1:18, and Paul saying to Timothy, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before thee, and thou by them mightest war a good warfare." 1 Timothy 6:12, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, wherein thou art also called." We're called to that eternal life. We have to fight for it. Lay hold on eternal life. 2 Timothy 1:13, "Hold fast the form of sound words which you heard of me in faith and love, which is Jesus Christ." 2 Timothy 4:7, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." My course. It's not Rick's course. It's not Carol's course. It's not Priscilla's. It's not Simone's course. It's the course that the Lord has laid for me and every individual. We have to fight to stay on course. We have to fight to know what Scripture is. We have to fight to keep renewing our mind, and it's a joy, but we have to contend with that. If we were to come just on Sunday for 2 hours and get the word, that may be sufficient, but dealing in the world, I know that's not enough for me. It's every day in prayer. I contend. I contend with what's out in the world. Through experience and the trials and the patience and going through the teaching that Rick's been doing about faith, what we add to faith is, if you don't know it, you don't receive it, and if you don't exercise the faith in your walk, you can be swallowed up. You're going to hear something that sounds good in your ear, but it leads to destruction. In Luke, it talks about, I think it was the 10 talents. In a summarization, because I can't find it right now, and it was, "To every man that is given, more will be given to him, and those who don't have, even more will be taken away." And that scripture always bothered me, because I kept on looking at my perspective. God's given me something, I'm not doing something, he's going to take something away from me. And I'm angry, because I didn't fully understand it, but God didn't give me that scripture, and it's not my personal interpretation. It was a warning, a loving warning, to remain in his word. So what happened with the men that in this vision that bought everything? Well, my friend, who first called up, he lost his job. What he has was taken away from him. He wasn't obedient to the Lord about tithing. He would, from what I was hearing in our conversation, it was like my idea of tithing. Whatever was left at the end of everything else, he would bless the ministry, the church with. It was begrudging, because that's all I have left. And then even that was hard for him to give. So he lost his job. And that was his choice, because he went out drinking. He lost his job, and he was a CDL driver. So no job because of that. As a result, lost his house. His wife's a believer, and they fought. And it was nasty. The bombs they would throw at each other while we would go for a Bible study. And we would pray for them, and they would not receive prayer. He lost his wife because she was standing on the word, and the enemy came against her, and cancer came, and But the man blamed everybody else, and as a man, he would not even pray for his wife, praying the power of Jesus Christ for her to be restored. She was clinging to life, and he would basically mock her belief because he knew what was there. So the thing in this vision, when everyone bought the stuff of the world, all these things that were going to get them rich, each of my brothers in the Lord put out the treasure in earthen vessels, their faith, their belief in Jesus Christ, the promise of salvation. First of all, the promise of forgiveness of sin, the promise of reconciling to God the Father, the promise of eternal life, that death no longer has a hold over us. Power in the world that we can proclaim Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, and all the hindrances and all the ugliness and the pain and the deceits and the lies of the enemy are destroyed by the name of Jesus. That's what they put up on the table. And these people that sold them the product, they're savvy, so what they did, they couldn't go into the tent, so they would send their cronies in and buy this, the treasure, because the people had no knowledge of the value of the treasure that was in with them. And in my ministry, I was so afraid that I was failing, that God gave me a calling and I wasn't fully exercising. It was God that was going to pull something for me. And it's not. It was the devil lying to me, because it's the devil that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that was the importance of the message about contending for our faith. And when I see, and I get passionate about this, because when people say, once saved, always saved, and they don't do anything, in my eyes, they don't do anything. And then people are perishing. And they say, well, the Lord's going to rapture us out before this horrible times, and we're not going to get involved. And people are dying. And they don't do anything. And they have no inclination to do anything because their bags are packed to go to heaven. And the Word doesn't say that. But they don't want to listen to what the Word says. Their ears are being tickled. Buy into my program. Everything's good. And you put your salvation, well, not the salvation, but the treasure that Christ has given you, and they snatch it away from you. Then what's left? Things of the world. Not heavenly things. Things not of eternal. The Word says, hold on to the things that are eternal, from which you were called. Those are the things we seek after. And it doesn't seem to be a big thing. Having that thing with Andy was comical. This is subtle. Buy into my program. It's a secret. How can it be a secret? Jesus Christ wasn't a secret. He proclaimed the name of his Father and the Father's wishes. My heart cries out, don't be deceived. Contend with your faith. If you don't know what God's will is, ask him, and he will tell you. He tells you you're beloved. You're a royal diadem. I liked it when you talked about the rock. Oh, the diamond in the rough. The rock broke open. That's how Jesus sees us. But if we're not renewing our minds, or we think there's a shortcut to this, there's a very good possibility you will have your wares on a yard sale table for the scavengers to come up, and the thing that is of value, the thing that the devil would want you to deny and rebuke and renege on, that treasure, the hope that's in Jesus Christ, if you're not watching, he may try to snatch it out of your hand. Yes?
All the way down, it was put on your armor, put on your armor.
Yes.
Put on your armor. Those were the words.
And these are times that the enemy would deceive us. And with the media, what they're blasting into our homes, if we're watching it, it's a gradual thing. But the same thing, the treasure in earthen vessels can be easily snatched away from you. It's no longer an eye for an eye. I mean, it's what the media would have. It's love. It's love. So, throw out the yard sale. Throw out the table. Seek heavenly things. And yes, contending for the faith, because we still battle the flesh. We battle. And that's okay. As long as you as long as you're growing in faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ, who he is, what his plans for is, when you find a scripture like that scripture bothered me, even that will be taken from you. It's not God taking it away from me. I'm not using it, and the devil will steal it in John 10:10. And that was such a revelation. Because it is the devil that does that, coming to steal. It's not God beating you up that you didn't follow my word. He lets us know there's cursings and blessings if you follow his word. But God is so compassionate and so loving towards us, who would all, anyone who would call on his son's name for salvation, that he wants to deliver us from that. And for me, when I find that situation, why is it happening over and over again? I can't look at the situation. I have to look at my heart. What's going on in my life? Have I grown in maturity and knowledge of Jesus Christ? Okay, yeah, maybe. Have I grown in patience? That's hard. It isn't, but honestly. But when you see it happening again and say, okay, Lord, not that you're teaching me a lesson. You've given me an opportunity to see. How many times in our walk that the Lord prunes us and it hurts and we just scream at him, I don't want that. I don't want that. No, no, that's me. That's my identity. That's my ministry. This is, it's me. And the Lord's snipping for you to bear more fruit for the kingdom. He wants to pull things out of our life. It's not to hurt us. Because we read Jeremiah 29:11 this morning, what God's plans are for us, and we fight him, and we can't blame God for our lives. If he's come in there through the right of way, even if he didn't have a right of way, he's sovereign God, and he wants to come in, and he doesn't force us. He tells us. And if, for me, from my experience, I could not get around that scripture because I thought it was God that was doing that to me. And it wasn't until recently, the revelation, it was the devil that would steal. God gave me the warning. If you do this, this is going to happen. Stay away from wicked men. They're looking after earthly things. This is their shame. Men like this will come in unawares into the churches and share that, and people would buy into it because they have itchy ears. But the Lord gives us the warning so we can be victorious. We are victorious. We just have to go through it. And we don't have to wait till we're dead and see him in heaven. We're to be victorious in our daily lives so people can see that and come to Christ to see where is your strength. It's not that I sold a ton of yard sale stuff. It's that it's my faith in Jesus Christ. Times are tough. Things are struggling. What am I doing? I'm tithing faithfully to my home church because the Lord says so. He says you pour out a blessing that you can't hold. This sacrificial giving. I can't give money because you know what? I really want to go to Longhorns tonight for steak, and Pastor Sherrod is struggling. Or the Pastor Ray in Philippines is struggling. There's a girl in the Philippines that needs a blood transfusion, and I have to look out $5 for McDonald's or $5 that provides life. What am I going to do? The sacrificial giving. Those are the things I've been standing on. The eternal things I'm laying hold on to. Not what I see with my natural eye. And the Lord says he will bless us. Amen. And that's not the thing that you throw the money away and God's going to... The blessings are incredible. For our family, we're incredibly grateful and thankful that all our girls are healthy. We have good health. We have good jobs. I think I have a sound mind. You may question that. But those are the blessings that sometimes we don't think about. But I would just encourage you to contend for the faith and the faith in Jesus Christ. When your ears are being itched and it sounds like it's really good, be like the Berean believers. Check it out against the word. And if that's not of the Lord, and Robert, I loved their conversation yesterday, you stood. You didn't shrink out. You didn't, even though you wanted to lash out in anger, you stood, you asked, and that's going to open up doors of ministry in your neighborhood. It's the love. But knowing where you are, what the boundaries are, where you can go. You don't have to fight the enemy, believe me. But standing and putting on the armor. So when that fiery dart comes out and wants to hit your heart, you don't react in the flesh. You react biblically. You're standing on the word. so content. I wish Andy was here. I knew I could beat him today. He couldn't stop me with that remote control. Just stop that, Tom. Yeah. And we have to get our hands dirty with our faith, believe it or not. It's not God's doing everything. He's given us a mission to do, and he's given us the power and the confidence in his son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the temple not made by hands, but of you, Lord. And when Aaron was singing that song, "Dwell in this place, Lord," I pray that everyone had the revelation it was our hearts that we want you to dwell in, not the building, but our hearts. We thank you for the words of encouragement. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, was a pattern for those who would follow. That there are no surprises when we come to follow Jesus Christ. But he leaned upon the Father and only spoke what the Father would say. And it changed the world. I pray for each of us here that we receive the words that were spoken in the testimony and in the music, and how the Holy Spirit would infill you this morning by answering your specific prayer, that you go out, that this is not a cheerleader up here saying, go Jesus. It's a lifestyle, that we have confidence to know who we are. We have confidence that Jesus, in the word, says God would never forget us or forsake us, which changes our own landscape should we receive that. No matter what dark avenue we go down, either personal, financial, relationship-wise, God knows who we are and he will not forsake you. He would ask for you to contend for your faith with fear and reverence. Salvation is a gift and we have to walk it out. And that's not a, it is a painful thing because we have to work around that with our natural mind. But thank goodness there's a Holy Spirit, a Spirit of truth that can lead us. And plus the Lord says, ask. If any man lacks wisdom, ask, and he will give it to you abundantly. Give it to me abundantly. And these words are so plain and so simple. I pray that we can receive them for what they are. Powerful words. That the Lord wouldn't have us running around a dead-end street, and where he just tells you, just ask me and I will give you wisdom. We don't have to chase after wicked men or men who would tickle our ears for what we want to deal with, because you know what, Lord, this gospel is hard. I cannot forgive or pray for that person that's persecuting me. I can't forgive that person who just wounded my heart, but yet you went on the cross for me, knowing the evil and the darkness in my life. And not just for me, but for all man, for all time. You love me that much. Father, I pray that we have that love. You've manifested it through your son, Jesus Christ. I pray that we can trust you with our lives to follow you. Thank you for delivering us and me from eternal separation and death and darkness, that you translate us into the kingdom of your son, Jesus. Hallelujah. And the last thing the Lord would say, Jesus Christ, Lord God Almighty. Proclaim that and change yourself, your family, your world. Amen.